The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. Key is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley, back in the new year. Gary, good morning. Welcome back. How are
good,
you?
Good morning. Hope everybody had a great Christmas and a great New Year. We'll get into that and everything that happened, while we were gone. We got to make sure we get to some of that stuff. What happened while we were gone? Also, the GOP and Kevin McCarthy, the Idaho murder investigation and the suspect. How much we really are indebted in this country. And it's not just a debt that we have, but the obligations. There was an interesting article that was written while we were gone that I wanted to make sure that we got to on that, showing the full problem that we have in this country. We'll tell you about the California school board that banned critical race theory right after being sworn in, which means we also must get to the end of year wokeness. Mm-hmm. Especially two stories that we saw out there that we want to get to. What to expect in 2023, and a whole bunch more. But really, the breaking story from last night. I don't remember the last time that an NFL game was postponed. And
postponed indefinitely. Not just stopped for a period of time, but postponed indefinitely.
Yeah,
especially this late in the season.
And this was the Bills playing the Cincinnati Bengals last night, and one of the wide receivers for Cincinnati caught the ball and ran into, and you can see hit him right in the chest. Mm-hmm. Damar Hamlin, a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, who then immediately stood up and then fell right back. I mean, it's a horrifying scene. Yeah. I didn't go looking for it. I was asleep when all of this happened. And I remember I woke up and I could see, the lights blinking. I'm like, oh, it's my buddy's calling me, and went back to sleep again. And all of a sudden my phone's ringing. Now, the only way my phone rings is because it's a family member calling me that can get through when I have my do not disturb off, and it's my sister. And I went, oh boy, I have to answer this one. Mm-hmm. And she told me at that point what had happened in the Bills game.
Right.
Obviously he had cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw that, 9 minutes of CPR.
Yeah. The initial reports that came out said they were working on him for close to 10 minutes, and then the language started to change in those reports that it was CPR, and that tells you that it's an effort at that point to save his life. His heart had stopped at some point, and now in critical condition, and we don't have any update from the hospital. There are a lot of a number of reports that you see or tweets that you see on social media. We will pay attention to what the hospital says, and there should be an update in the coming hours. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but there should be an update from the hospital in the next few hours. But you saw NFL fans and players and ex-players and everybody come together, as a community, really, in support and prayers for DeMar, and nothing else matters. I mean, the game obviously has to take a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I just, you think about that, you know, we all have some experience watching young people play games, usually not on a professional level. But I remember watching my nephews play. They were my three nephews, brothers, and watching them play in high school, I mean, it was crazy. But watching those kids hit as they became juniors and seniors in high school, I was like, wow. I mean, it was over the top. Those kids were, you know, just, I mean, aggressive in the way that they played. And that was high school football. And you, then you think about, you know, the very aggressive nature of professional sports, but especially football. And you see, we're reminded in a very sobering way how dangerous it can be.
You know, you look back at the history of the NFL, you know, and again, we don't know. He's in critical condition right now. The only NFL player ever to die on the field was actually Chuck Hughes from the Detroit Lions back in 1971. Mm. Now, he wasn't hit. He just fell. He had like 75% blockage, young guy, but he fell over and died.
Yeah.
He was playing for the Detroit Lions. It was against the Chicago Bears, and that was late in the fourth quarter when that happened. So they continued the game in stunned silence. I just realized now as I'm talking, the things I remember, I'll have, you know, Buffalo Bills, everybody knows I'm from Buffalo and a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have, you know, ties to Buffalo. I was there at the game. I remember because I don't know if I was working with you yet. I think I was when I was at the game where Kevin Everett got hit, and you could hear the hit up in the, you could hear the hit. You could hear it, the crunching. It was horrible. I mean, and, you know, I'm what, 100 yards away, you know, up in the, you know, way up in the state. You could hear it.
Mm.
And luckily, he recovered, I think, most of his ability to walk, but they saved his life on the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I do remember as a kid, I would have been about 9 or 10 years old. I believe this goes back to like 1965. Mack Lee Hill, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs, after the game was done, he had played against the Buffalo Bills and had gotten hurt and was operated on like the next Tuesday, got an embolism and died on the operating table from his knee injury.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I remember. And you just hope that, you know, being in critical condition, and the things you worry about, of course, is the fact of how long, if they did CPR, that means for that long of a time, that means his heart wasn't going.
Right.
And they used, what do they call it, the AED, also on him.
Right.
The defibrillator, what is automatic external, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see all these things and you're like, oh, wow, this is, you know, this is really, 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 really bad. I mean, they did the proper thing. And I know that, again, I didn't see it in real time. So, you know, but you go on Twitter and you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Time to move somewhere else from, you know, Twitter. Time to move to the actual what you believe are credible news sources out there, because everybody, you know, is making instant, you know, observations on it, you know, and as to whether the NFL took too long to postpone the game, but nobody knows who knew what at what point and, you know, what the communication was, but we jump on everything. Then there were the people like, you know, Charles Kirk out there, who I used to have some respect for, who I lose completely when they start making medical diagnosis that, oh, you know, basically, you know, implying it was COVID, you know, these young players having heart attacks, just the stupidity of, you know, of that, you know, going. And that's part of the stupidity of the right that exists today,
because
everybody saw that posted that is considered on the right.
Right.
And they're idiots for doing it. They have no idea. There's hundreds. But number one, getting hit in the chest that hard can have an impact, number one. But there are dozens, hundreds, possibly thousands of reasons why something like this could happen.
And we know nothing.
You know, nothing.
Of his personal medical history, And there may be something that he's not aware of that could have been with him since birth. There's and you know nothing, yet you're going to go ahead and make a decision that this points to that.
Yeah. Idiocy that exists today. I mean, it's absolute idiocy that exists. And
I don't know what the effort is. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish through that. I really don't. I believe in prayer. Prayer can accomplish a lot, I believe. How about you go with that?
And so for me, you know, when I, you know, by the time I woke up and, you know, what I, you know, and I went on, what was it? I went on Twitter. I didn't want to actually see it, to be honest with you. I haven't even searched it out.
I don't care to see it.
I didn't want to see it, but as I'm going through Twitter, somebody had like the 5 second thing and it was right there in front. As I'm reading it, I go, well, what do they have below? And you just saw, you know, him getting hit, going down, and, you know, getting, jumping right up and then falling right back down. But what got me was the pictures. It's heartbreaking, the pictures of the players.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at their faces afterwards.
Well, there's a picture of T. Higgins walking with his mom, leaving. They appear to be leaving. This is, you know, after everything is over. And this is T. Higgins is the one who hit DeMar. And you can only imagine the grief that T. Higgins is going through. And, you know, this is, again, why you don't engage in something you know nothing about. How about you pray if you're inclined to do so,
or show genuine concern and compassionate,
and wait until information comes out that we can maybe learn from.
But it's one of the things that you and I have talked about on almost every issue.
Yep.
Now today, people wish to be first in their emotional with the morality that, I'm better than you.
Well, that's it. They
virtue signaling.
Yeah.
I want to be first in virtue signaling.
Right.
Even if I don't have the facts, behind me whatsoever. And it's just.
I don't know what drives that. I don't know what your goal is. What are you trying to do?
I don't know.
Who are you trying to be?
I don't know.
Captain Twitter?
No.
What kind of award do you get for that?
You know, I look at it and what caught me, you know, looking at the players and then seeing the Bengals players come over and, you know, hugging the Bills players and then seeing that, you know, Joe Burrow's and the rest of the Cincinnati, you know, the captains, and I probably all of them couldn't get in the locker room, but they went over to the Bills locker room, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, that you want to see. I mean, that's what you got. You got people that truly care about it and know, look, it's a game, and this is a human life, though, but it's extremely serious, as we all know. Hospital is supposed to give. I did see the hospital was supposed to give an update, but they didn't know when.
Right.
They thought it would be sometime overnight.
Right.
And you know, we'll have that for you. But just heartbreaking to see something like that.
It really is
happen on a football field, and of course, you know, immediately, we should never play football again. Football should be, you know, hockey should be canceled. You know, all these things, any contact sport should be canceled. And it's like, it's not going to happen.
No, I mean, there could be something where the game changes. There could be something where the equipment changes. Again, we have to learn from what happened. And then it will be on the NFL to decide where they're going to take that. But first, you have to know the facts to do that. And this is why it becomes, I don't know, just a this morbid act of stupidity to jump out. And I don't know, promote something you know nothing about.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And when I see it from people that agree with me on a lot of other issues, and then you see them completely just lose it on something like this, it's frustrating. I understand human nature, though. We've been around it long enough. You know, we live in a society that emotional virtue signaling without the facts is something that people are passionate about for some strange reason. As you said, you don't get it. What do you what do you accomplish by doing that? What do you expect to accomplish? It's, you know, the way that, you know, you and I look at things, and we've said this bluntly. We don't care about being first. We care about being right.
Yeah.
On an issue.
Right.
And there are people that don't care about being right. They wish to put out their emotional virtue signaling, even if it's warped and bizarre.
Yeah.
In their, you know, whatever they feel their virtue signaling is for whatever audience they're trying to appease, I don't know. But it's, you know, just for God's sakes, have some compassion.
Yeah.
For the situation that's going on at that particular, you know, at that time. But for some reason, people just don't.
No, they don't.
It's reprehensible, but not surprising. But it still bothers them at a time like this. You know, one of the heartbreaking things for me is the picture of DeMar Hamlin before the game going over to hug his mom and hugging his mom and talking to his family.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that, you're just like, I mean, it just breaks your heart. So
well, and you know, all of his efforts for charity and everything. That he has done as a player in his very young life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll keep you updated if we hear anything, you know, any update from the hospital on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Just very, very sad day. Mm-hmm. Very sad day in the sports world last night. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Your truck's inability to crank at the proper speed is the most obvious sign that a battery-related issue is present. If you experience any sluggishness when cranking your engine, get a full electrical system check from a trusted service provider. Continuing to crank a vehicle with low or inadequate voltage will damage the starter and can cost you uptime down the road.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye, if you'd like to get in on the show today. All right. the biggest bomb while we were gone was the release of Trump's taxes.
It just goes nowhere.
And I think
again.
Was it the LA Times story? That was like, Trump uses business losses to not pay his taxes. That was the best.
Right.
It's like, that's the tax law.
Warren Buffett does the same. Bill Gates, they all do it. If you want to change the tax law, change the tax law. He's not paying any taxes. Well, he wasn't making any money.
But the way I got to find the headline, because the way that the headline was written was implying that Trump did something wrong.
Right. Yeah. How dare he take those deductions? I guess they know that he doesn't do his own taxes, right? Do they know that? I don't even know if they know that, because they behave like they didn't know that. Like he's sitting around going, all right, what else can I write off? I can write off this. How many children do I have? He's not sitting around doing his taxes.
Did I bookmark that? You would think that would be something that I would bookmark.
Yeah. Well, there was so much going on, honestly.
I know.
It might be at the bottom of the pile, which is almost 2 weeks old.
When I saw that, Trump uses business losses to not pay his taxes.
Well, I almost tweeted out, you know, for our audience members that follow us on social media, I almost tweeted out, you know what? You guys are on your own. We're not going to talk about any of this. The pile's too big. We're just going to start fresh when we come in. Just talk amongst yourselves. We're not going to discuss any of it. Just move on. Everybody move on. There was so much going on. But no, I mean, that's what they wanted you to believe. That's really the only thing they thought they had a grasp on. He didn't pay taxes. Why is that? Because he's, you know that the IRS, this is, you know, all of this is already gone through the IRS. The story would be the IRS is going after him because of tax evasion, which, of course, wasn't the story. So they tried to make it seem like it was tax evasion because, well, he took his losses. Well, that's what they all do. That's tax law. That's not breaking the law.
Hours a night and still not enough. Listen to our podcast available on the app and on our website, redeyeradioshow.com.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 86690 Red Eye. So the other headline I saw, and I can't remember where I saw it, but it was Democrats, the January, not January 6th committee, Democrats release Trump's taxes. Democrats release Trump's taxes after Trump breaks precedent and by not releasing his. As if that justified because Trump broke the voluntary precedent of releasing his taxes. So that justified the Democrats releasing Trump's taxes, which showed no wrongdoing.
Right.
And it's just like, wow. And you just open the door there. You open the door for the Republicans now to say to hell with what the law says. Democrats have set the precedent.
Yeah.
And let's go and look at all of these. Remember, Trump lost wealth.
By becoming president.
By the way, this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, Trump needs to pay something. There needs to be a wealth tax. Well, then he wouldn't pay because he lost wealth.
Right. If we're going to talk about gaining from your time in service, then please, let's have that conversation.
Let's look at Liz Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
You see the increase in her wealth. Mm-hmm. If that's the game that people wish to play, by the way, the Democrat Liz Cheney, if that's the game that they wish to play, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing that I just loved was, I mean, his... What makes you unqualified for office? Running for your first term and lying about everything? Does that make you, should you be removed from office because of that? Or if you have a half century of lying about everything and become president of the United States?
If you already know the lies, then it's okay. If you've got a history of 50 years of lying, right. We accept that.
When you have a half a century of lies, as the president does, on everything that he has ever talked about in his life, come education, come jobs.
As far as we know, he's the first to ever receive bottomless Pinocchios from the Washington Post.
Exactly.
Not the New York Post.
And again, as we aren't advocating, or we would never enable lies. In fact, we have told Republicans, stop lying.
Yeah.
Don't lie. You don't need to lie. Conservatives don't need to lie. Let's start this message again as we start 2023. Democrats have to lie. They cannot convince the American public that what they wish to do is the correct thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason that any conservative or any Republican has to lie on any issue that exists out there. So let's start that as a base.
Right.
So we don't approve what Representative, or soon to be Representative Santos has done. Was he sworn in yesterday or was he sworn in today? I don't know.
I believe it's today.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't. Look, if the guy is guilty of lying and he lied to would-be voters and, you know, made things up on his resume, then he deserves whatever's coming to him.
Or as he said, resume enhancement.
Right. Yeah. Eric, it says here you were the original lead guitarist for Aerosmith. Is that true? As far as you know.
Now, see, when I was extremely young and foolish, you know what my resume enhancement was?
Mm.
If I work for a job maybe 14 months, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, but I worked like till January 2nd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make that the whole month. So I worked for the. I worked 15 months.
Right, yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, what if
closing
I get caught?
The gap in the resume. The resume gaps.
Yes, exactly. I wanted that gap. Because it was like, okay, I didn't get a job for 6 months. Okay, let me move that 1 month up and the other one a month. That way I was only unemployed for 3 months at that resume. That
right.
That was my resume enhancement.
Yeah, closing the gaps. Yeah. No, I would say the shows here you were. What did you do for 7 years?
And so, again, we're not justifying, but it is important to make the comparison mm-hmm. about how the media looks at someone like the first term congressman out of New York versus a half a century career of pathological lying by the current president of the United States.
Right. I mean, look. We can go toe to toe on this.
Yeah, it's like we.
It'll be a no brainer. And the liberal media has written about it, as we mentioned, the Washington Post, but the New York Times and all of them, they've written about it. This guy makes up lies when you don't need to make up lies. Seriously, what the hell was Corn Pop all about? What are you trying to accomplish with some of these lies? His ego won't let him quit lying.
Maybe here's what we're missing. The mainstream media cares about lies,
mm-hmm.
but they ignore entertaining lies.
Oh, it's got to be an entertaining lie, right? That's the problem.
That Biden has extremely entertaining lies.
Right. Yeah.
Corn Pop and the hair on the legs. And
right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That the resume enhancement are normal lies that ought to be looked into, but the bizarre and creepy lies, we just need to stay away from them.
Right.
God, just unbelievable.
Well, you know, that one lie about being put in jail in a foreign country, that maybe that'll come true here at home. We won't have to lie about it anymore. It's, you know... It is, though, that grasping of straws
and his ranking
by the media.
Remember, because when he was in the late 80s, when he had to, you know, not run anymore, it's because the media exposed all of his lies about his education.
Right. Yeah. I mean, over and over and over again, after he became president, the liberal media, the bizarre set of lies that Joe Biden is still telling.
Yeah. To the point where he got...
Bottomless Pinocchios.
Bottomless.
The first fact checker at the Washington Post gave up. There were so many lies.
Bottomless Pinocchios.
Bottomless Pinocchios. Endless. We can't keep count. We don't know how many. And it's not like, you know, there's a, you know, they I know where all the skeletons in the closet are. They're not in the closet. They're everywhere. They've been, he's telling them over and over again. He's repeating the lies.
But then what I love was the response from the Republicans. All right, let's release everybody's taxes, including everybody in Congress and everybody who has made money while serving in Congress. All of their taxes must be released if that's the precedent that we're starting. Shh, let's move on to something else.
Yeah, exactly.
That was entertaining.
No, I mean, that's, you know, what it comes down to is that, well, this must end. What must end? You know, the thing. I mean, it really is. It was like they were pointing at nothing saying, see? I don't see anything. Well, then we need to change the law so there will be something there. Well, the fact of the matter is they had nothing. They had nothing. And they still, again, have nothing.
Funny thing is, I'm just clicking through, just actually looking for updates, you know, as anything on DeMar Hamlin, mm-hmm. see if the hospital, And the first thing that comes up, during a speech to Naval Academy graduates, Biden claimed he was appointed to the Naval Academy in 1965, except Biden graduated from the University of Delaware in 1965, making that impossible.
Right. Yes. I mean, it's crazy. It is just insane.
Oh, my. My, oh, my, oh, my. I just.
Well, I thought to myself, all right, is the whole Trump thing with his taxes, is that an effort to try and build something into a story so big that essentially as the Republicans come into power, whoever the speaker may be. they want to just, you know, take the focus, of course, off of the whole Hunter Biden thing, or at least make it seem where it's not so big. I mean, if we want to get into taxes, let's review the current president's taxes during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And what he claimed and didn't claim, and let's look at the flow of money.
Well, I think there should be a much greater interest since the president has lied about not knowing about his son's business dealings. Mm-hmm. Since that's what we're looking for is taxes, and what's worse than following tax law might be not following tax law.
Right.
And making sure all income is reported. And when you say, when we all know that the Biden family was enriched by foreign entities.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence that exists that nobody is disputing its legitimacy says, because nobody is, right? Nobody's coming out and stating that what's on the laptop is inaccurate, are they?
Right.
Where it says the president got 10% and witnesses, business partners willing to say Biden is the one who got 10%, and then his son himself in the one email to remember the email to a relative. Hopefully you won't have to support, you know, Joe and everybody else like I have to do.
Right.
I think that's evidence to find out, you know, to look at Biden's taxes and to do an investigation to see if he did not report income. Right. If Trump is a story for doing nothing wrong except following tax law, and he is demonized for it, well, then let all things be equal.
Yep. Let's look into it right away.
Look, we wouldn't be talking, well, we would be talking about Biden, what was going on, but we're talking about it now because Democrats have made the story that Trump on his taxes did something wrong because he followed the law. Right. And that's why it must be released, so you will know that Trump followed the law when doing the tax, when doing his taxes.
Right. And you
this
know
is too much fun.
It's you know, the end game. I could see where if they had taken the road of, look, you know, he's not that great at business. By the way, he wrote a book about, you know, the business failings, his own business failings. And, you know, how one time when he was, close to $1 billion in debt or something. I forget what it was. And he looked at a guy. He said, I saw a homeless man on the street, and I thought, that guy is richer than I am. He's like $1 billion richer because I owe $1 billion and he may have nothing, but he doesn't owe anybody anything, you know, and I wondered, you know, okay, they didn't take that road. I didn't see them, you know, come together as a group. And I mean the liberal media and go down that path. See, he wasn't doing well in business, probably because I guess that's well documented. That he's had his ups and downs in business. He's filed bankruptcy I don't know how many times. But that's not something he has hidden. They keep finding things that aren't hidden and go, Aha!
I know. You've opened the doors for Republicans now to say, well, William, you did this.
Right. Well, the current president had a shared account with his son who was making tons of money. Let's look into the cash flow.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, I guess one of the things that whenever we go on vacation, we come back and we could spend the next week talking about what we missed the past week. And and it was Christmas, New Year's week.
Yeah,
and right. Still there was so much going on, which we will get to. By the way, the NFL held a conference call and said they will be giving no further update on the postponed game between the Bills and Cincinnati, and they will not be giving any further update on DeMar Hamlin. They also stated they never put out that there was 5 minutes to warm up and play again. That did not happen. You know, that never came from the NFL. The
right.
officials may have said it, but they never said it. So
right.
they said
all
they
right.
deny reporting, giving any type of deadline.
And still no update from the hospital.
No update yet from the hospital, no.
Top of the hour news is brought to you by Howes Products. Visit HowesProducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Hope you had a great New Year. Just horrible what happened last night at Buffalo Bills against the Cincinnati Bengals. DeMar Hamlin, this came out from the Buffalo Bills just in the last 15 minutes. DeMar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in our game versus the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the UC Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He is currently sedated and listed in critical condition. I have not seen an update. Now, the NFL said they held a conference call about an hour ago. They finished a conference call and said they will not be discussing at all anything, you know, about the rescheduling of the game because
right.
the game was postponed.
Right.
They stopped it in the first quarter.
Right.
He took a hit. It looked like in the chest area. Got up immediately, then fell right back over. It was a horrible scene to see the players on the field and you know the emotion that was coming out. But I had seen earlier where the hospital said that they would overnight be giving an update, but they did not give, you know, what time that would be. The NFL said, we're not giving any more updates after this.
Right.
They were done with it. The other story is the NFL executive Troy Vincent, this is from the Buffalo News, denied a report that at one point the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals were given 5 minutes to warm up after DeMar Hamlin collapsed on the field and was taken by ambulance to the hospital. Quote, I'm not sure where that came from. End of quote, Vincent, the league's vice president of football operations, told reporters on the midnight conference call. Frankly, again, quote, frankly, there was no time period for the players to get warmed up. Frankly, the only thing that we asked was that the referee communicate with both head coaches to make sure they had the proper time inside the locker room to discuss what they felt like was best. So I'm not sure where that came from. the 5-minute warm-up never crossed my mind personally, and I was the one that was communicating with the commissioner. We never, frankly, it never crossed our mind to talk about warming up to resume play. That's ridiculous, that's insensitive, and that's not a place that we should ever be in. And, you know, that gets back to what you and I were talking about, the instant reaction that you get when the, you know, when the whole story isn't out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a perfect example of what we, of one of the things that was brought up that you saw on Twitter, people making instant judgments without the facts being out there. A reporter would say something, well, that was gospel truth, and right. So that must be the truth, and boom, everybody would then make an instant judgment on it.
Right. Yeah, and frankly, you know, and I could see where there's miscommunication between officials, the commissioner's office, and the teams, and mixed signals coming out. But then you have the chaos that is the social media outlets and people putting out their information that just clearly isn't accurate and wasn't accurate at that time. You know, quite frankly, if you don't have a quote from somebody, then why would you put it out there?
Vincent said the league recognized that the players and coaches involved were traumatized and resuming the game was not an option. During the call with reporters, league officials said there has been given no consideration to when the game might resume.
Hmm.
At the appropriate time, I'm sure that we'll have a conversation around the next steps regarding what we should do
right. In
that case.
Right.
So, and I mean, because that's where you got the NFL, how horribly insensitive they are, mm-hmm. you know, that, mm-hmm. It must be COVID, you know, that mm-hmm. was coming out that mm-hmm. because he got hit in the chest and another young player, you know, getting a heart attack and, mm-hmm. you know, the inference that it must be COVID and it's, you know, it must be the COVID shots,
mm-hmm.
you know, not COVID, but mm-hmm. the COVID shots. Again, just totally irresponsible. You know, reporting and many of those putting that out are people on the right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is nobody knows anything about the medical history. No. And there could be things that are totally unknown to DeMar himself that led to this. It could have been the hit. We don't know. We have
no idea
until medical professionals tell us. And then we can go from there. And if the NFL, if they want to take that information and they want to make changes down the road, whether it's equipment or whatever it might be, changing of the rules, then all that will come when we learn the truth, but not before. And, you know, I don't know why that has to be so hard for people. I don't know what this, you know, mindset is. That you've got to jump on social media and go down that path. I just don't get it.
You know, and you go back and you look at it, you know, you go back and when Chuck Hughes of the Detroit Lions died mm-hmm. back in 1971 on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't even part of the play. I mean, he didn't catch a pass. He wasn't hit. Mm-hmm. He just fell over. He was 28 years old.
Yeah.
And had 75% of his arteries, you know, one of his coronary arteries, 75% blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And his family had a history of heart disease.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know. But people right. wanting to make, this is the thing, and how long, you've said it, I know I've said it, but when I have my headphones on, I hear you saying it over and over again, because you've said it so many times. We don't care about being first. We care about being right. And for some reason, people are like, well, okay, I'm going to take a guess. This is what happened. And if I'm right, I can sit there and say, see, I was first on it. And if I was wrong, well, I just basically ignored, move on. That's where, as we talk about before, that's where the political activism comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Your political activism. I've got a narrative. I got to stick with this narrative no matter what. I have no shame if I'm wrong.
Right.
And I just keep moving on it.
Yeah. I'll just stay with it. I'm just going to run with it. And I don't know what the goal is. What do you hope to accomplish with that? The fact of the matter is that there likely is something to be learned of this. How much, again, you know, we will have to wait and see. But it's not going to happen before we know the truth of what happened here. And where is the decency to wait for, you know, to give the family, the other players, everyone involved, a little space right now? Because whatever is going on, their mind is not on the game and when the game will be played, if at all. It's not on anything else. It's on DeMar, as it should be. Give them that space. If you're so inclined, pray for them.
By the way, just so people know, the majority of the Bills team remained at the stadium well into Monday night. Mm-hmm. The entire team, then, because I know Stephon Diggs, the ESPN report, that he actually went, the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, actually went to the hospital because they weren't getting any information. And mm-hmm. the ESPN reporter actually vouched for him because the police officer wouldn't let him in. And right. said, no, this is, you know, and he says, we need to find out, whatever. But ESPN now reporting that the entire team then departed shortly after midnight and returned to Buffalo. So, you know, this isn't going to be a thing where the game is played later on today or something like
right,
that.
Right.
The next couple of days. So,
yeah,
again, the league did not say, they said we're not even into that kind of discussion.
Right.
On that whatsoever. So,
right.
You know, you sit there and you see he is sedated. You know, he got oxygen, you know, too, on the field. You know, he was given oxygen also. So I guess that would be the concern. I mean, that's what you look at. And when you sedate somebody and put them under, you know, when they've had something like this, the concern, I mean, I know one of the concerns would be, you know, possible brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
Not oxygen going to their brain, you know, were they able to, you know, take care of that on the field? That would be one of the biggest concerns.
I think that was really why this everyone, you know, when you're approaching 10 minutes of them, you know, working on him on the field. I mean, it's one of those. It's Troy Aikman said, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically, this has never happened. And you see the entire situation for what it is.
Well, he's correct.
That's a long time.
The Chuck Hughes was something else. It wasn't that he was hit on the field and something happened. He died of a heart attack because he had a history of heart disease, which can affect, if you have a family of heart, it can affect you very long. Look at Dick Cheney.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so there are people that have heart problems, heart disease in their family, that have problems in their 20s and their 30s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My cousin passed away at the age of 38 from a massive heart attack. And this is what he inherited, you know. This is the part, again, in any situation that isn't known. But these are all the possibilities of what could be at play here. Don't know. Most people look at the play and the nature of the play, and then you could go from there. But we don't know, and the doctors will fill us in the coming days. And then we'll, you know, from there, you see what the NFL will do. If it had to do with the hit, then is something going to change there? Something with equipment, does it change? You know, but the fact of the matter is that you've got a family right now that is struggling. You've got his colleagues on his team, all the fans, the opposing team, and everybody else that's involved in here. I can't imagine. I didn't seek out the video. I didn't see it happen, and I didn't seek out the video for a reason. But I can't imagine those players that were on the field right there with him. It's traumatic. And that's what they're going through right now. And there's really no room for anything else. Prayer.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on winter weather driving. On the off chance that you become stranded due to wintry conditions, it's important to be prepared and to know what to do. Consider carrying an emergency kit that includes a shovel, flares, jumper cables, first aid supplies, a flashlight, and spare batteries. If you become stranded, stay in your vehicle. Walking in a storm puts you at risk of being hit by a car, suffering hypothermia, or getting lost. Call 911 to request help. Store extra clothes in your cab so you can stay warm by wearing layers. If you have to run the engine for heat, make sure that the exhaust pipe is clear of snow and crack a window to make sure that carbon monoxide doesn't build up in the cab. Also, pack extra food and water so you don't have to go hungry or risk dehydration while you're waiting for help to arrive. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. For people just tuning in, we were in case, because sometimes when there's breaking news, you just assume that people know everything that was going on. If you didn't see it, and I didn't, I was asleep last night, but during the Buffalo Bills Cincinnati Bengals game last night, Damar Hamlin, a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, got hit in the chest, got up after, you know, basically making a tackle, and then fell right back over again. He went into cardiac arrest. His heart did stop. He was resuscitated on the field. The game has been postponed. And so they stopped the game at that point. The Bills have gone back to Buffalo, and Damar Hamlin is in critical condition right now at the hospital in Cincinnati. I do want to make this note, though, because we've been saying that the hospital had said that they were going to have an update. They are not going to have an update overnight.
Okay.
So the hospital spokesperson canceled the news conference.
All right.
So the NFL said no further updates, and the hospital has said no further updates.
All right.
So all we know is at this point is critical condition.
All right.
So there you go. And we'll keep you if there's any other updates, but it doesn't seem like there is going to be any other updates from the hospital,
right? Right.
Or the NFL that said, you know, basically we're done, and it's not going to be where the game is played tonight or something like that. It's, don't know and don't really care at this point, as I believe most people are of that same mindset, really don't care at this point.
Yeah,
it's his.
Nothing else matters.
His health, but and again, if you're just tuning in, he was given CPR for 9-10 minutes? I think is what they're talked about.
Right. Yeah, they're on the field.
Right. Yep.
And then taken off the field to the hospital directly in an ambulance. And again, you know, just a very scary situation to play out there on the field. For everybody involved, and of course, his family, and everybody right now that is dealing with us, and the team, and you know, this is unprecedented. I don't recall a player in my lifetime. I don't recall a player being in a situation like this. Do you?
No, like I said the closest would be the as we mentioned earlier, the Detroit Lions player who died on the field, but
not unrelated to a play in the game.
Yeah, it was unrelated to a play in the game. He had heart disease and 28 years old. Chuck Hughes, back in 1971. No, I don't think this has ever happened where a game has been. I don't remember the last game that was ever postponed.
Yeah, I don't.
And started back up again.
Right, right.
I just don't ever and I know it's never happened because of somebody being hurt on the field. And I remember when Daryl Stingley got hit This goes back, what was this, that the 70s, when he got hit and was paralyzed. And I was at the game when Kevin Everett got hit when he was playing for the Bills. And, you know, they thought he might be paralyzed for life. They saved his life on the field, the doctors did, on that. And I'll never forget that. And when you – and they continued the game. They, you know, they took him off the field and they continued the game. But I'll never forget it. It was absolutely horrifying because you could hear the hit. You could hear it.
Right.
You could hear the
– right.
You know, it was – you knew that it was a different kind of hit.
Right.
You could just – it's almost like a crunching. It was horrible. I mean, it just – and so – nothing like this, though. I think Troy Aikman was right. This has never happened before.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's very scary. Very scary. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, with the doctors there that are caring for him. And it's just a, you know, again, one of these situations where, and I guess for some people, they just stay in the mode. But for most of us, we know what the priority is. And it's a reminder that, you know, that what is important, life is important, you know, and keep them in your thoughts and prayers.
Threat to democracy if you don't download our app, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harling. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. How was your vacation?
Very busy. There was a lot going on to the extent that normally I have more time during the year in vacation to rest. And I usually take advantage of that time. Because there's not as much lawn work, you know. There's not other things going on. It's like, okay, slow time of year. And after Christmas, I can just, you know, take a nap for a few hours, which is helpful for me during a vacation anyway. But apparently we'll have none of that. There's so much going on in my family. And so there was a lot of, traveling back and forth. It's only a 2-hour drive, but that's a 4-hour drive total. And so there was a lot going on, but otherwise it was good. I mean, you know, busier than normal, but still, it was great. I enjoyed the time that I had with everybody, all my family members that I was able to spend time with. My wife and I got to hang out quite a bit, and so it was good. Yours?
Oh, well, I never made it back to Buffalo. Mine was the first flight canceled.
Yeah.
And when this would have been Thursday night, where I knew it was going to get canceled. I saw what was coming in. You know, I remember when you and I left, you said, well, are you optimistic? I said, yeah, I may be able to. And by the time it got...
The window,
you know,
closed.
By the time it got, you know, 12 hours later.
And then it just got progressively worse.
Well, when my flight was canceled, you know, I said, look, they're going to be canceling everything. I'm not going to be chasing canceled flights for the next 3 days sitting at DFW airport.
Yeah.
It's not. And then everything was canceled. Everything, you know, all the way through. I probably would not have gotten back. If I wanted to fly out of Buffalo, I had a friend of mine who went in a day before. He got out, so he went Wednesday, and he was coming back, supposed to come back last Tuesday on the same flight I was going to come back on. He got out Friday, but not in Buffalo. He had to go to Rochester. Everything was just, it was impossible. So probably I could have gotten out Friday, but you wouldn't have done anything. number one, if I would have made it in on that flight, that morning flight on Friday,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get from the airport to my dad's house.
The roads closed there.
The roads, everything was closed. You couldn't get out. The rental car company, there would have been nobody at the rental car company to rent a car from.
Right, right.
And nobody was driving, so it was okay, because by the time we got to the next day, I was talking to my sister. I'm like, I make the right decision? Yeah, you made the right decision. We can't see anything anywhere. So they didn't end up celebrating, I don't believe, until Tuesday or Wednesday. And so I made sure I knew when they were going to celebrate. And I said, okay, we didn't even communicate. I just knew my sister will be FaceTiming probably from 6 o'clock through 9 o'clock.
Right.
And so I just made sure that my headset, because I don't want to be I don't want to sit there and be holding the phone. So I just put the phone in a particular place and had my headset on. So if I moved away a little bit, they could still hear me clearly on it. We FaceTime like three different times, probably for a half hour each time. So it was like I was there, and I told my dad, keep the tree up, and I'll just fly in. I fly in a week from Friday. I'm flying in for a day and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to do, I said, keep your tree up, and I'll come in, and we'll do Christmas there. People come over. I said, just, we'll order pizza, something like that, and just, I'm there for Christmas. So
yeah,
they're all cool with
that. I was going to go back and make another drive and visit even longer with my parents on Thursday and Friday of last week. But I called him. I said, I'm sorry, it's too warm. I don't want to have to be running my air conditioner and whatnot. I mean, it was so crazy, the weather. You know, we went through that cold spell, came out of that, and then spring came back.
We almost hit 80 degrees the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was insane.
It's insane. I don't know you sit there every morning, you wake up and go, okay, what day is it today? What do I wear? I wore shorts.
Yeah.
I went to the driving range a bunch of times, and I will tell you this, I watch too much TV.
Mm.
And I don't ever want to, again, see the Mike Huckabee sleep supplement commercial again. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of seeing that. Can't you sleep?
Having trouble sleeping?
Oh man, stop it!
Yeah, jeez.
And then the other one is that I noticed
the
Planned Parenthood basically saying, "Kill your baby; it'll make your life better." You've seen some of these Planned Parenthood commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa! I can't believe how many of them are running.
You don't need to be burdened.
Yeah,
it's just a life. Yeah.
I mean, they're as blunt as you can. It's almost as if they said, okay, let's not sit there. Let's get back to, okay, if you find that abortion is necessary and you're just like, no, make your life better. Get an abortion.
No, they had, I don't know how many celebrities in over the last few years work toward that effort as well. Well, I never would have been rich and famous had I become a mom. Well, thank goodness you didn't, right? Because all that wealth and fame is more important.
You know, it's going to be a really interesting year, 2023, because, and I noticed this, you know, that not only that, but on social media, it's really, you know, the Republicans are just against things. They're against. You can't find out what they're for. Yeah, you can. But there's like, you can't find out what they're for. I mean, they're against the transgenderism. They're against this. They're against that. They're against. Mm-hmm. No, you can just flip that around and say, no, they're for this, for that, and for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, is they're trying to really defend and double down on the most radical agenda that you could possibly imagine. They're not backing off.
No.
We predicted this.
Yeah.
But they're not backing off at all.
Right. No, I think after the midterms, they believe that, all right, look, we're on the right path. We just have to get more radical. We just got to keep going down this road and become even more radical. And that's exactly what they're going to do. There's not going to be a shift in that regard. They're not about to change. They're not about to. And this is the thing, is that if you stop for a moment and separate yourself from the, I would say, the the Beltway rhetoric, and it's not exclusive to being in the Beltway, because it does happen all over. But if you take the political rhetoric from the far left and the party and set it aside, and then look at what people, how people are reacting to the left in real life, you understand how out of touch they are. Are they still winning elections? Yeah, they are. Are they winning over the hearts and minds of people? No.
No.
They are not.
No, I mean, we live in, and, you know, this is frustrating last year. It's been frustrating for us for a significant period of time. Mm-hmm. We can go back all the way to 2012.
Yeah.
When it's like, okay. So, and this, and we say 2012 because it was the exit polling where everybody agreed with Romney. Nobody agreed with Obama, yet Obama won.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, whoa, okay, right. So how long will people keep voting against the things that they actually don't believe in? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're there now. It doesn't last forever. You do see shifting, but it's also when you look at the Republican Party, and we'll look at it, and as we have, you know, stated, and we said this earlier in the show, and we have said this for a significant period of time, Democrats have to lie because they can't sell that a man is a man is a girl because they say so. Mm-hmm. A man is a woman because I say I am. Nobody buys that. You may think you are. I can't really debate that with you because I don't know you. You may think you are, but biologically that does not make you so. You know, you look at the court ruling, what was it, in Florida that came out over it.
Right.
And it was like, these judges won't recognize. Well, no, they don't. They're not going to recognize that a man is a woman because a man says that he's a woman. It's that simple.
Right.
This isn't hard. You're not going to win that one in the arena of ideas. You're not going to win. You're not going to win identity politics.
No,
you are not going to win.
No, you're not.
I've had this discussion with a couple of people. We got into a great discussion about, you know, where we are today. That if you look at racism in this country, people think completely different now than they did 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people think completely different than they did a half century ago.
Yeah.
Right. But even in my generation, I think about my, you know, especially when I became 18 years of age and, you know, became a bill collector, and it was every ethnicity was in there and nobody cared. And that's 48 years ago that I started working at the bank. I can't believe it. It's 48. Everybody hung out together. Nobody even thought about it. Well, you take 48 years, almost a half century later, and the generations now, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
No, they don't.
And the Democrats still make it as if, no, it's the major issue that, and because they practice the identity politics where they judge people by groups and not individuals, the only place where race relations have not evolved is in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, the only place where race relations have not evolved in our society is the Democratic Party, who still is passionate about treating you by your physical characteristics.
Well, because what they realized, I think, along the way is that they were losing influence. And the only way to gain influence is to keep people in groups and keep people separated by groups.
Yep.
And that if you're not doing that, there is something inherently wrong with you. If you don't think that way, then we're going to gaslight the daylights out of you and make you feel like there's something wrong with you. And that's what they have done in recent years. They've ramped it up to the nth degree. This is not going to stop. Because it was the only political control they felt they had. That if we can just keep people in classifications and not allow people to actually become individuals, then politically we can continue to win. Well, the problem is when you break it down into more and more subgroups, your division gets to the point of people being alone in their subgroup. It's not a group. It's one person who is a victim for a number of reasons. Therefore, everybody else is an oppressor. And you can't overcome that. Eventually, it will be the collapse politically, and you're going to have a new game. Now, they're still winning, again, still winning elections. Okay, that's fine. Why did they do that? Look at the number of reasons why they win elections. Right now, the hatred for one guy is still very much alive.
One thing hasn't changed, though, is where the people stand on the actual issues.
Oh, no doubt. No, the very core of it, and that's what they don't see.
The politics may have evolved over the last couple of years, saying, "All right, let's not defend the issue. Let's we can win on Trump,
right?
You know, so we can win
but
on
when
Trump.
You break it down to the issues,
or we can win a little bit on abortion or something. But but on the major issues that America is concerned about that we've talked about, those four or five, six issues out there: the economy, the border." Inflation, which is part of the economy, the social issues of critical race theory, the liberal transgender activist movement, the culture wars. Conservatives dominate. The conservative mindset dominates through the American public. Now, how do you win? You know, we see what's going on right now. We'll see what happens later on today with the Speaker of the House. Politics is one thing. The issues, though, are another thing.
Right.
And the issues are with the Republicans. 866-90 Red Eye.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up following the top of the hour, more of what to expect in 2023, end of year wokeness. We got to make sure we hit that. The Idaho murder investigation and the suspect.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Just an incredible story. Still being told here, the suspect lived not very far, just minutes away. From where the four victims were murdered, and so much was learned after the arrest of the suspect. We'll get into more of that coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you want. If you can't listen live overnight to one of our great radio stations, you can listen when and where you want. Giving just hourly updates because it was such an unbelievable, horrible scene. Last night, the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Buffalo Bills in Cincinnati. Game had to be stopped in the first quarter after Damar Hamlin, a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, was tackling a receiver and got hit in the chest. He got up, grabbed his face mask, then fell over backwards. The doctors had to come out, performed. Well, his heart stopped. I mean, everybody, you know, the Bills in the NFL has said his heart stopped. He underwent CPR for, you know, 9-10 minutes. And I was looking at, and I didn't see the interview with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, where I just was watching it during the break, and you were telling me that, you know, a part of it that Troy Aikman said, this has never happened before.
Right.
And it's true. This, something like this has never happened before. And Joe Buck was saying, you know, they're, you know, to do it, they're pounding on his chest and the players are surrounding it, you know, when basically to give him privacy, but they were watching this, excuse me. And it was just horrendous. And the reaction of the players, and just so you know, his condition, he's in critical condition, in Cincinnati. The game has been postponed. I just saw on Twitter the Bills in the last half hour or so have arrived back in Buffalo already. So the entire team is back, unless some players stayed at the hospital. But he's in critical condition, has been sedated, and there is no further information at the hospital or the NFL is going to give throughout the night. So
if that changes, we'll bring that information to you.
We will. So just horrible.
Yeah. It is. It's one of those, you know, again, rare moments in professional sports where, of course, everything stops. And the focus, as it should be, is on the life at hand. And it is. It is especially disturbing, you know, to see. You go from, because the range of emotions, you go from, you know, you're headed toward, you know, playoff season. You're headed toward, you know, where the teams are all going to fall and everything else. And the fans are all in this upbeat mood to something very different. And it is... you know, our thoughts and prayers remain with DeMar and his family and the doctors, everyone caring for him this morning.
All right. Let me see. The Buffalo News reporting that all the Bills players are returning to Buffalo with the team. So
okay.
That's
all right.
That's from the NFL, apparently. So
all right.
Okay, reported by the Buffalo News. But just shocking. And like I said, I didn't see it live. My sister woke me up, I saw more of the response afterwards, and probably, you know, 20 minutes afterwards.
Right.
Some of the scenes that I've seen of just the players, themselves, and you actually look at the play, and the play doesn't look that bad.
Right.
You know, you've seen some of the plays in hockey where somebody takes a hit, you're like, whoa, that guy's never getting up again. He's, and they get up and they're fine. This did not look like the kind of hit that would result in this type of, you know, of
situation,
injury,
right.
Situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, I don't know because I don't know exactly where his shoulder went into his chest because obviously he was hit in the chest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you look at it, you know, when he jumps up right afterwards, grabs his, you know, face mask, and then just
right.
falls backwards. It's
right.
like, whoa.
Yeah.
So the NFL has said again that they will give, and the hospital, nothing more on the condition tonight, nothing on the postponement of the game. Just not appropriate to be talking about that
right.
at this point. So
right.
just want to make sure we update you each and every hour because it was a scene you just don't see in sports. We just don't.
Yeah.
You know, as Troy Aikman said, this has never happened.
Right.
And I don't remember, I'm trying to think of, there was a hockey player, remember, on the Dallas Stars a couple of years ago that had the problem. But in the NFL, this has never happened, but, you know, like this before. So we'll keep you updated on it. So. Looking at some of the news and we were gone. I mean, I just some of the stuff, Eric, was just. Time Magazine, exercise in the United States originated as a white supremacy project.
Okay.
Early 20th century pushes for exercise in the U.S. Stemmed from white supremacy in order to produce more white babies, according to a Time Magazine piece. That also blamed the coronavirus pandemic for having accelerated fitness inequality and alleged it is wrong to presume that fat people are not fit or that they want to lose weight.
Well, I guess the good news is you don't have to stick to your New Year's resolution.
Exactly. In a conversation with the news magazine,
wow,
exercise historian Natalie Petzrula, a professor of the New School in New York City, discussed the matter, which is a feature topic in her new book, Fit Nation, The Gains and Pains of America's Exercise Obsession. Look, I've known enough people to know that people obsess over different things. There are some people that are into, you know, the exercise obsession.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know if, for most people, running a marathon would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, talked to my niece about playing basketball my entire life.
I'm not sure right now at my age driving a marathon would be a good idea.
Discussing how Americans went from a mentality of fat is good to skinny is better.
Okay.
When?
Yeah. By the way, they make it sound like
that's gaslighting at its ultimate.
Well, that the majority of people are obsessed with exercise. That's the tone I'm getting from this.
Right, exactly. So the society is upset. No, we're not.
It's actually quite the opposite.
Yeah. Like I said, you can find some people that may be.
And it's very few, relatively speaking.
Yes.
If you want to call it an obsession, if you want to rate it as an obsession, very few people fit in that category. So I don't know what this major epidemic is all about. But then if we're going to get to the judging people by whether they're skinny or fat, because that basically is what we're getting at here, that the fat shaming is wrong and that it is a form of bigotry, right?
Well, I mean,
wanting to be healthy is not the right thing to do, not the right mindset.
Well, I guess there's two things here. I mean, there's the aesthetics. I mean, if somebody is overweight, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I don't think I've ever fat shamed anybody. I don't think I ever went up and bullied somebody and said, "You're fat and I'm not." Ha 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 ha.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do, you know, I've had some friends that started gaining weight, especially in their 30s and 40s. Some people that have been close to and have told them, you need to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You need to diet. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fat shaming involved in it. There was no bullying involved in it. There wasn't about shaming their appearance. It was a concern for their health. Because being overweight is not good,
mm-hmm.
is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And to promote the fact or what I find to be reprehensible and immoral is to take something that is a health issue and make it into a aesthetic issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they seem to be doing. Oh, you're fat shaming. You shouldn't be fat shaming them. If they wish to be fat, go ahead. I could care less. I don't care. If you're fat or skinny, I don't care. I don't care what you look like. But if you're a friend or I know you or just a general good human being, I do care about your health. Should doctors not tell you to lose weight? Is that fat shaming? They always like to take an issue that isn't an issue, which if a doctor tells you to lose weight, it doesn't care aesthetically what you look like. He or she doesn't care what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
All they care about is your health. When I go to the doctor,
yeah.
Type 2 diabetic, weight matters. Weight matters big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he hasn't said anything about my weight, but if he did, should I report him to the American Medical Association for fat shaming?
Well, your doctor, generally speaking, people's doctors clearly don't care about your happiness. Stay away from all the dairy. And this is Brian Regan did a bit on this. Should get those moles looked at and lose some weight and stay away from the dairy and other good things. And by the way, here, make sure you pay on your way out the door. Your doctor's the only one that can get away with that. But this is the straw man argument, right? Trying to build something that isn't there. Well, see, you know, this actually is based in bigotry. No, it isn't. This obsession. Very few people have the obsession.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I love this.
Words have meaning, yeah. And if you're going to use the word obsession, then let's use the actual definition of the word. This obsession. Yeah. Okay. Fine. We shouldn't be obsessed. You don't have to be. It's probably not healthy to be obsessed about anything if we're talking a true obsession.
Right. Yeah.
But you can live your life the way you want to. You know what I call that? Freedom.
Yeah. But to be concerned. Concern doesn't mean an obsession. It means I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my weight. I don't believe it's a good thing for me to be fat. Why? You should be able to be whatever you wish to be. Well, yeah, but it may not be healthy for you.
Well, yeah, there's the other side of it is that, well, yeah, wait a minute. You're going to start an exercise program? That's wrong. Other people have taught you. And see, this is the gaslighting involved. Our society has taught you that being fat is wrong. And now you're going to start an exercise program at the beginning of the year because of what you've been taught or maybe the way they feel. And how about they get to choose?
Then there's this one, an anti-diet TikTok influencer.
Okay.
Influencer is under fire after Libs of TikTok tweeted a video of her claiming that hitting the gym is fat phobic.
All right.
Well, I will agree. If you're pro-dieting because you believe you're too fat, you are fat-phobic. It's okay to be fat-phobic.
Right. If you believe
you're fat
is wrong,
right,
and there's something wrong with it, and you're doing something about it in an effort to get healthy, then that's good.
What does the left want people to be? Seriously, what do they want them to be?
Well, they believe you're stupid, frankly. If you think you need to lose weight, there's something wrong with you. Wow.
Just insane.
Well, because how long before then, you know, the push to change the guidelines? It's not a food pyramid anymore. It's just a food blob. It's just whatever.
866.
Whatever you want.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
If you like listening to Red Eye on Demand, we have more of Eric Harley and guests for you. Download RER's Extra Mile podcast. More topics and issues discussed.
This winter, give your diesel a real treat.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. Well, the Idaho murders of the four University of Idaho students, we know a suspect has been arrested, Brian Koberger. Did you see the New York Post story about the report of how nuts he's been going in the Pennsylvania prison? See that New York Post story that was out there said he was, you know, let me just find it here. Here it is from the New York Post. Brian Koberger allegedly tried to expose himself, taunted guards from excuse me here. I'm trying to get this here, and I'm having problems with the taunted guards from Pennsylvania jail cell. The suspect in the slain, a four University of Idaho students, allegedly tried to expose himself, sang violent rap songs, and threatened guards from a Pennsylvania jail cell, according to a report. A fellow inmate told the Daily Mail that the accused killer, Brian Koberger, displayed bizarre and disturbing behavior at the Monroe County Jail. Valerie Spinelia, 50, told the outlet she witnessed Koberger during her six-hour stay at the jail after she was arrested for domestic violence on New Year's Day. Quote, "You come in here and I'll cut you. I'm going to pee on your face. Do what you want to me. I don't give a blankety blank." She claimed he yelled at one guard. This is just such a bizarre story when you think about it. As you know, he went to a college, you know, working on his doctorate in criminal justice.
Yeah.
And everything that goes. I mean, I knew when it came out that they couldn't tell us anything until he is extradited back and can be before a judge.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, oh, boy, here we go. You're going to have every single doctor, every single psychiatrist, every single person possibly out there on the news speculating or trying to figure out, okay, you know, what's behind it. Interesting stuff about possibility of the DNA, but we don't know. I mean, there's so much speculation going on. You know, did they get his DNA? Is it a relative's DNA? You know, just so many source stories coming out. But will we know today or tomorrow? I mean, if he's extradited back, he'd probably be flown back and within a day be before a judge. And so this week we should know what they actually have on him.
Mm-hmm. His apartment, about 20 minutes from the murder scene, his campus that he attended in Washington State, just about 10, 12 minutes from the campus that the four victims attended. And so the question is, all right, what happened here? If Koberger is guilty here of this, of these horrendous murders, then what drove that? Was there any kind of relationship between him and any of those victims? And exactly what was his motive here? If he again was guilty of these murders, but it took nearly 7 weeks to make the arrest. The question also, was he the only one involved? Was there anybody else involved in the planning or the carrying out of these murders? And all those questions will be answered soon enough.
You're a threat to democracy if you don't download our app, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Did you read Andrew McCarthy's column, which I went, whoa, okay. Because Andrew, I just normally wouldn't. I didn't expect this article from him.
Okay.
Where he says, impeach Biden. Why?
He normally doesn't go that far.
Yeah. Yep. Because of the border. And let me just read a couple of sentences here. Yes, I know. The votes for a conviction are not there at the moment and probably won't ever be. The Constitution requires a two-thirds Senate supermajority to convict and remove an elected official from office. And Biden's Democratic Party will hold a two-seat majority in the upper chamber for the next 2 years. Yet there must be an impeachment investigation. And if Biden fails to change course, articles of impeachment. That would forever stain him, which he deserves. More significantly, it would force the Senate to shut down other business and conduct a trial that would expose the depth of our security catastrophe and the fact that the Democrats have willfully caused it. That you're not going to get him kicked out of office. Because the one thing is, here's the concern, if you go to impeach him, you strengthen, normally the view is, you strengthen a president by impeaching him in this day and age, because impeachment is viewed, partly because of Trump, partly because of the other side when it comes to Clinton, they view it as political. You're just involved in a political game. And I think what McCarthy is saying here, Andrew McCarthy, not want to make sure, not Kevin.
Not
McCarthy.
Kevin.
Andrew McCarthy is, this all needs to be brought out. You need to, even doesn't matter whether he is kicked out of office. That's not the goal. The goal is exposing it, what's going on precisely at the border, and the fact that it's happening because the president wants it to happen. And he says, if Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Mitch McConnell don't fancy that prospect, here's a suggestion. Fix the freaking border and stop ramming through omnibus boondoggles that spend billions on processing and sheltering illegal aliens, but explicitly forbid shifting American taxpayer funds to protect Americans by securing the border.
Hmm.
The president's dereliction of duty has abetted a foreign invasion of so far approximately 6 million illegal immigrants. A large number of these immigrants are released into the country in violation of American law. And mind you, we haven't even faced the onslaught that waits the rescission of Title 42. As I detailed in a column earlier this week, although the Supreme Court has temporarily kept Title 42 in place, its rescission is inevitable because it is a pretext, not a policy. Once it is lifted, the current rate of illegal immigration, an eye-popping 6,785 apprehensions per day, and another 2,000-odd gotaways who evade capture as they enter, will grow to somewhere between 2 to 3 times higher than it is right now. To provide some perspective, during the Obama-Biden years, the Department of Homeland Security regarded it as a crisis if the number of illegal alien encounters inched up above 1,000 per day, which computes to $365,000 per year. 1,000 per day overwhelms the system, said Obama's former Department of Homeland Secretary Jay Johnson. At that time, Trump administration was dealing with 4 times that amount due to a surge of border arrivals by alien family units and unaccompanied alien minors. The surge was caused by a refusal of congressional Democrats to cooperate in Trump's signature border security priority. It was quelled, as Rich Lowry related, because Trump induced cooperations from other countries. Thanks to Biden's wholesale adoption of transnational progressive radicalism, we are now at 7 times the number that Johnson conceded would be a crisis. Post Title 42, we could find ourselves at 18 times that amount, or perhaps even more. And remember, that's just the apprehensions, not the gotaways. By what multiple must a president intentionally metastasize a crisis for the benefit of foreigners and to the ruin of the American people before he is impeached? It's a great question.
Yep.
We all know, everyone knows, this is what the Democrats want. Everyone knows this is what Biden wants.
Right. And it's something he promoted heavily as a candidate.
Yep.
This is not something that you have to go find the files on.
No, we've played
it. You don't have to go and search for anything. You don't have to wait for something to be released. He's been openly promoting this from the beginning, before he became president. It's not a secret. And everything that is happening right now is by design. And we either fix it as a nation or we don't. I think it's an interesting point. If you bring it to this point, the Democrats on Capitol Hill basically have to be on record as to whether or not they believe this is a serious problem. Are you going to bring that to the American people? Are you going to get to that point? I don't trust the GOP to move on something like that. I don't think they will.
No, I don't think they will.
Right. He makes the point as to why you should.
Right. That when a president does something to intentionally harm United States citizens.
Right.
Which he is doing.
Yep.
In this case.
And he's done on other fronts.
Yep.
And, you know, these are very serious items. And quite frankly, if the GOP isn't going to move in that direction, then they deserve politically what's coming their way. But I expect that that's not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. I mean, here we are, January 3rd, the day that the votes have to happen in the House for Kevin McCarthy. And they can't get the votes together.
Let's nominate Andrew McCarthy.
Right, exactly. Hey, if we needed to be a McCarthy,
we
have one. We have a good one.
You do not have to be a sitting member of the House to be Speaker of the House. So throw Andrew McCarthy in there.
Why not?
He's probably saying, shut up, guys. Yeah. No.
I have no interest.
I have no interest in doing it. And we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, today and where they go. It's easy. I mean, this isn't hard. You know, over vacation, I mean, it's just, okay, come on. Just, you know, get it together, get unified behind, you know, the four or five or six things that America believes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, promote those over and over again. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on, guys and gals. Come on. You can do this. It's not that hard.
Yeah, we've seen it done before. It can be done.
You know, you can defeat. And that's the thing that doesn't change. The thing that doesn't change at all is the issues. The politics are all screwed up, but the issues are clearly in favor of the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Landslide numbers.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to communicate to the American public, and so far you haven't been able to do that.
And I think that, you know, these are, and you know, over the years you point out how things, you know, get to a situation. Before we left on the Christmas break, the question was already there as to whether or not the Kevin McCarthy had, you know, 218 votes in the House to make it to Speaker. Well, that shouldn't be the case. Even after a lackluster performance, you still won the House. Get it together on the issues. Everything else can be worked out in the halls. Get it together on the issues.
It's not hard.
The issues, by the way, are sitting there in front of you. They're already together.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything but point. And once again, you can't even do that.
You don't have to lie.
Nope.
You don't have to make anything up.
Nope.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want an example? Well, the border is secure. That's a lie.
Right.
Everybody knows that's a lie.
Right.
The border is not secure. It's Trump's fault. Everyone knows that's a lie. The polls show everybody knows that's a lie.
Right.
It's not Trump's fault. It's Biden's fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is calculated.
Yep. No, all of this is...
We would rather spend money processing, spend hundreds of billions of dollars to process illegal immigrants into the United States...
Mm-hmm.
Than to say, you're going back.
Right.
That is a choice. We are not going to follow what the law allows us to do. We're going to do everything we can to destroy border cities, many of them Democrat cities.
Right.
They don't care.
Right. No, they don't. Look, you have seen it. How many blue mayors in the major cities? This is a problem. We can't afford this. We can't do this. They don't care.
They don't care. They don't care about the American public. They don't care.
And nothing is going to change for at least 2 years.
Yeah, it's not.
Nothing is going to change. And over again, the crisis is proving to be greater and greater. In fact, there's a case to be made, as we did before, over the last couple of years. We predicted, and it was no really, you didn't have to go out on a limb to make those predictions, that it was going to get worse. And the reason it is going to get worse is because you know that those coming here know that the policy isn't going to change, but it could at a certain point. So ramping up to January 20th, 2025, there's going to be an increase in people coming here because they know the window could be closed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only going to get worse. We could change that. We could decide to change that as a nation, but we've decided not to.
President could simply say, look, illegal immigration is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know the vast majority do not have credible asylum issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to accept everybody in and say, we'll listen to your asylum issue down the road. It has to be specific from this country. We're getting together with Congress and we're going to control the border. I'm President Joe Biden and that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved.
Mm-hmm. But you'd have to undo all the years of saying, come here.
Right.
We want you here.
Right. But they don't wish to do that.
He invited a surge. He literally invited a surge.
Democrats want the surge of illegal immigrants to the border. They want chaos at our border cities.
Yep. Because quite frankly, I think part of the plan is that you create such a massive surge that at some point, then, okay, fine, you wave the white flag and say, great, great, great. We'll do a pathway to citizenship or whatever, legal status for the majority, if not all of them. Just make it stop.
How do we know that Biden wants a surge at the border?
Very simple.
How do we know? How do we know?
Hmm.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
There you go. That's it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 of Red Eye. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about Mayorkas, you know, for the pathological liar he is as head of Department of Homeland Security. He isn't in charge. The president is.
Right. Nope. The president could make changes if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. This is exactly what he wants. This is all by design. He promised it from the beginning. Before he became president. And the fact that he won tells him that he was on the right path, that he's doing the right thing. His party is still winning elections. They still control the Senate. He's good with it. He has no problem with a broken border.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.